Well, I was born in England, and then I went to Newfoundland to work for 4 months, and I stayed for 32 years. And part of the reason why I liked Newfoundland, because I like to be an outdoor person, and I took part in the creation of the trail there, the East Coast Trail. Have you heard that?
No.
No, okay. But it's quite a big trail, and it attracts a lot of tourists. So when I retired to Halifax, I got intrigued by more trails. And I lived just off the Bedford Highway, and my neighbours in Fernie kept talking about the old Coach Road Trail, which was all new to me. So I thought, well, I'll investigate that and see what that's all about. And actually, the old Coach Road Trail is part of the Halifax Northwest Trail. And there are about 20 trails all over HRM. So we look after the trails on the northwest side of the basin. And I'm warden of the old Coach Road Trail there, which is between Southgate and Lariutec.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that. So I did set up the board for that. And I've also done the boards for Cabin Lake Trail, which is backs onto Hemlock Ravine, and Belcher's Marsh one. And all these are fairly historical. Now, I'm somebody that failed in history in school, but I've since got into that in a big way. And then north of us, and you might know that, say we do this area, north of that is the Sackville River Trail. That's a separate committee. And then I'm not sure which one is down here, but there's another one down here which runs up to the 102. So the first person that got us interested in this, I think HRM decided they wanted to do trails, so they sent Diana Whelan and a couple of other people down. They called a meeting at the library, Ketchin Library, and we went along there to hear about this new idea of trails. And then the second meeting, they said, so what are you going to do? So we formed ourselves into a committee, and that was in 2003. So the Halifax Northwest Trails has about 9 short trails, as you can see from the map here. Say most of them aren't very long. Like the Old Coach Trail is about a kilometre long, but you can work your way around into the houses and make it longer. I'm also interested in the trails because I started with another friend. I started the Wednesday Wacky Women Walkers.
I love it.
That was named by one of the husbands. The married people didn't want their husbands there, but one of the husbands said, you know, you're wacky going out in all kinds of weather.
Mm-hmm.
And most of us are in our 70s, and there's quite a few in their 80s.
Mm-hmm.
So we've walked from the year 2000 nearly every Wednesday that we could.
Wow.
So today I was in the valley.
Okay.
And then we often combine a walk with an eating activity, of course.
Yeah.
But we went down to Warfield Library because one of the walkers had an art presentation down there. And then we crossed the road and went to Larch and saw the candle making. So, but we're not just about walking, we do a lot of other things. And the kind of people that are in the Wacky Women, a lot of them are churchgoers, which I find quite extraordinary this time, a lot from Bedford. They're mostly all professional people that have retired. Between us, we've covered the globe in travelling.
Oh, wow.
And they've had three trips to England and one to Newfoundland. So they spread out a little bit. And we're about 20 altogether, so we know each other quite well. I'm going to talk about the Old Coach Road Trail, of which I'm the trail warden. And that runs from Southgate almost over to Lariutec, almost. And it's a very beautiful trail. A lot of local people have never been there. Big canopy of tall trees. Clayton Development, they use that to sort of get people interested in buying the new houses there. And one of the things I did, I saved an old hemlock tree. It's a very big one, probably well over 200 years, maybe 300. And three adults can't even get their hands around it because
wow.
It's so big. So I did save that because they wanted to cut it down because they thought it may be a danger with people hiding behind it. So the Old Coach Road ran from Halifax to Windsor and then beyond to Annapolis. I haven't really found any evidence that the trail that we call that, not hard evidence, that it was where the coach went, but it could have been a woods road and it could have, you know, mm-hmm. been the coach road, because the redcoats wouldn't have walked down the main road, I don't think. They would have been seen by the French. So it's quite likely that they did use that road. And there's a lot of water up there. What else do we know about the coach road? And, of course, there's a lot of history about the coaches, but when the train started up and came through Bedford, then that fell into disuse.
Mm-hmm.
So people wanted the train. But it's an interesting history. So
yeah.
That's on the board up there, along with different plants that we've observed. The other trail that's fairly new, and I'm still doing, I've been a long time doing the board for that, is one along by the Moyes Power Station, mm-hmm. if you know that. That's Mill Run, and that flows into Paper Mill Lake, and it was once the hub of Bedford. You know, there was a paper works there, and they produced paper for the Acadian, and they produced their own paper, and a young man from Sackville invented the paper, but he didn't actually register it, so it went to a German.
Oh.
But he had watched the wasps making, you know, their nests from sort of bark and paper. There was a woolen mill there, corn grinding, and of course the most famous thing was Moy's Chocolate Factory. That was a big item, and at one time it employed 1,000 people. I mean, you can't imagine that in that sort of rural part of mm-hmm. Bedford. And that, the Moy's Factory was where Sobeys is now, because all that's filled. So it was a great hub, and then of course you had the trains going by, and you had corn being shipped in, blankets being shipped out with the wool factory, and shipbuilding down the way. So eventually the board will get produced, and I'm hoping to have it in place by this year to celebrate the 150th. So the board will look at the industries and maybe some of the leisure activities that went on there, like the Red Cap Snowshoe Club. Have you heard of that? Yeah. And you know, people race with horses and carts from Dalhousie and came up this way, and the Duke of Kent liked to come this way because then he could dine in one of the coach houses. That was a favourite run. So I think that's about all of that one. So I'm talking now about volunteer work at the Scott Manor House under the Sackville Foundation, and we decided, some of us decided, that a good person to look at would be Arthur Lismer. Now, he was principal at what is now NASCAD, but it was the Victorian School of Art, and he actually lived in Bedford. His house is still there. It's quite close to Scott Manor. So he lived there from 1916 to 1919, and he produced a lot of artwork while he was there, and he also tried to run the school. The other thing he's famous for is that he was appalled at how teachers taught art in the school, or didn't teach art in the mm-hmm. school, and so he started developing theories for that. So he was a landscape artist and a teacher of teachers and young children. And he also included some handicapped children in his classes. So he had, the school building was very old when he came here, but this was probably the first time when he came to Bedford that he had a strong salary. He'd been, you know, in England he didn't make much money, and when he came to Toronto, he taught at the summer school, I think, but when he came to Halifax, he had a salary of $900.
Wow.
Which was a lot. And plus he would promised, I think, 75% of the school, the education fees. But he didn't know then that there was only like 12 children around. So he did try to get more people interested. But if you remember, it was in the middle of the war, and a lot of his students were soldiers, maybe returning from the war, maybe disabled, and or waiting to go back on the ship. So he had a very mixed class, and he went round to all the schools. And the man never had a car, as far as I can tell. He lived a very simple life in Bedford, and he went round to all the schools trying to interest the teachers in teaching art properly.
Cool.
Because, I mean, he was the principal, but he wasted a lot of time in a way because he was the only teacher.
Yeah.
Here he was walking around town.
Yeah.
I think he was a very nice fellow. He was an Englishman born in Sheffield, and when he was a child, at 13, he applied for a scholarship to the art school there. So I think he was a very bright person. He was always scribbling and drawing and doing caricatures. So he did his training, and then he went to Brussels, did a year there. Then he went to Toronto, went back to England and married his wife, and then finally came here to NASCAR, that is now, and you know, he really worked on education and art.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing he got money for was that he was commissioned by the War Office records to make records of the ships coming home from Europe. And so if you come down to Scott Manager in that time, the first thing you see when you come in would be this huge ship.
Mm-hmm.
And it had camouflage on. I don't know if you've seen that. It sort of had wavy lines and these ships. And the idea wasn't to hide it. The idea was to distort which way the ship was around so that the submariners couldn't get a fix on it. So I'm looking. The other thing that's at Lithner is that he was part of a group of seven. You've heard of the group of seven. Okay, well, they really wanted to produce paintings that summarised the Canadian landscape. And this is Lismore's wife down at Sackville there. And you can see it's a different treatment. He'd been brought up to look at Constable, which is much more subdued.
Yeah.
There. And his friends, and Tom Thompson was one of them, they went out into the bush. So it was probably the first time people went out in the woods trying to capture things. He did a lot of tree paintings. This is one of his famous ones. It's called Bright Land. And this is another one, a September Gale. So you can see it's a different kind of painting than you would have seen in England and Constable and people like that. But he also, when he went to school, he admired Van Gogh, who had been to the school earlier. And of course, Van Gogh had that kind of big, bold treatment and colours. The only thing was is that the staid people in Toronto didn't like those paintings.
Oh, no.
You know, they wanted to go back to the old days, so there was always a fight going on. This is an interesting one. It's called Sunglow, and the Speaker of the House of Commons has been promised to have the original of this in his office in Ottawa.
Wow.
So we're going to have a copy of that. And that we think this man in the boat here is Tom Thompson, because he drowned when he was quite young.
Mm-hmm.
He was found tipped over. There's lots I can tell you about those.
They're beautiful.
Yeah. So the group of seven, people argued about it and said that's not Canadian art, but then it became the Canadian art, and it showed the wildness of it.
Yeah.
Of Canada. And a lot of those people in the group of seven were English people, so they had a different view of art. So we're going to, we've got a collection of Lismore's paintings that will be in Scott Manor, and that will be opened on August the 17th by the director of the Dalhousie Art Museum, is that what it's called? And then a friend of mine who's a docent, she is coming to speak on the 24th, I think. She's coming to look at one of the ships and do an interactive talk, because that's what she does when she volunteers at the art gallery. And she says,
okay.
No, what do you see there? And so it won't be a straight lecture, it'll be an interactive one. And we'll have a book available. I'm going to do a scrapbook up of some of the pictures which I've been copying. He also did comedy figures too, so I'm going to put some of those in. Like he did these straight paintings, but he also did sketches. If he went out to dinner, he often had a big crowd around him in the dining room because he was sketching away, and he'd make some kind of off comment.
That's beautiful art.
Yeah. But not everybody likes it, if you think of Turner and Constable. He was a great writer. He was also a poet. And he wrote a lot about educating children.
Mm.
So, you know, he is seen as one of the runners of childhood education. And he liked acting, too. He was quite good at acting, and he used that to teach people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
really liked the arts, it seems
He was a very energetic man. I think he was about 6'3". You can imagine him walking to the train station every day because his house is just up the road, and I can imagine him flying down there.
Wow.
And then another thing he's famous for is that when he was working his way in Sheffield through the arts school, he got money by working for, and it was quite a young age, he worked for a newspaper, so he was often sent out to draw bodies and things like that.
Ooh.
So when the explosion occurred, he was home, and he tried to get into town, which took him about 7 hours because the trains were held up, and he went around and made sketches of what was going on. Then he went to school, and Snow's, the funeral people, used to be next door to the art school, and they had piled up coffins around the building and piled up coffins in his office. And because it snowed the next day, they were bringing frozen bodies into the school and putting them in the basement. So it was quite grim.
Mm.
But he did record that.